Okay, I'm firing him.
Would it shock you if Bill Foley had already recorded his helicopter playoff videos and was like...
You're just saying that because you were out of game and you saw Bill Foley on a video.
He drives me nuts.
Yeah, he was doing like some kind of camo. Yeah.
We've got the package. We're bringing it to the ring. Shut up and drop the puck.
Like that
you
was
were so rattled.
I was so mad furious at Bill Foley in the helicopter.
I think bringing the package in.
That's what it was, remember?
And then he got on a chopper, and you were like, I hate this guy.
I was fuming. I was shaking. I was so mad.
Yeah, Noodles was gone at that point. It was just me and you.
No, it was before the game.
It was before the game. I was there.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. You think there's a chance the owner in Vegas has already shot his playoff helicopter video and Gerard Gallant had to pay the price?
If you pay $550 million for anything, you can shoot whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, how do you think
maybe
the transaction...
Maybe I'm jealous of the money.
How do you think the transaction happened? Was that, I don't know, just the owner saying we need a change, or...?
Well, I mean, it's been reported today, and I had heard that a little earlier they were talking about an extension for Gallant earlier in the season. And somewhere between then and now, things went off the rails. It seems a little bit panicky to me. I know they haven't played like maybe we think they should, but I kind of have a hard time believing this is like a Stanley Cup team. You know, like what happened the first year was a lightning bolt. And then last year they got screwed in Game 7 in San Jose, or they might have gone there again. They might have got to the conference finals again. And so it seems weird to me that even though there's holes in their roster, that they would have gone from there to this in a few months.
Well, Brian just said it. Like, for an expansion team as a head coach, what else are you looking for?
Well, I don't know what else he could have done. I guess maybe they look and go, man, outside of St. Louis, the Western Conference is a total 100% crapshoot. And we're, for a month, we've been all over the place. We're not very good. We're not playing very well. You can go through all the analytics that I've been reading today about it, too. And, you know, their 5-on-5 save percentage is down. They give up too many chances from the middle. Blah, 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 blah. They haven't been as good as they maybe think they should be. And Pete DeBoer, who everybody thinks is a really good coach, is sitting there. And so maybe they feel like we can't trade six players, but maybe a different voice can get what we think is a better team into a position to compete to get to the conference final. Like, when you think of it, in that division, if you win the division, like, you know, like, how could you not be considering or thinking, rather, we can win two series here?
No kidding.
And so maybe they're like, man, this is, we're right there. We can be the best team, but we're not playing like it. I was shocked when they made the move today.
Shocking. Yeah. Of all the, outside of, you know, the Bill Peters stuff, which took on a life of its own, and Jim Montgomery, which was totally different.
Right.
In terms of just coaches being fired based on what they did behind the bench, this is truly one of the more shocking firings from afar that I can remember in NHL history.
You know what I thought of immediately, outside if there was stuff behind the scenes that we don't know, is I've heard it several times this year, and I hope it's the wrong narrative. Well, St. Louis did it, and they went and won a cup. And I think that would be the most ridiculous thing. St. Louis was a one-in-a-million thing.
Right.
But
And St. Louis was
way
was
off.
Clearly a way better team than they were playing.
Right.
They didn't have a goalie.
Yeah.
And like Doug Armstrong said, I thought it was maybe one of his best quotes. He's like, hey, if we knew Binnington was this good, we would have called him up a long time ago. Like, that was the last thing they had.
Right.
But they fired the coach because they were stumbling around, and then they still stumbled for a month.
Yeah.
With Berube. And then they got the goalie, and then the tumblers all clicked. Like, that was a good team that was playing terribly.
Yes.
And they're in last place. To think this is going to happen all the time or more frequently, I can't buy it either, Noodles. I don't buy it.
No.
I
mean,
but I do think Vegas can get to the conference finals. Because that division is a mess.
Well, there's only one team that can win the Cup. So there's been, what, seven coaching turnovers. And right. If they all think they're getting there, six of them are going to be disappointed. And
like, why did I do that? Why did I fire the coach?
Well, you know what my first thought was that Lou Lamoriello was taking over in Vegas. Like, this feels like a Lou play. Like, you seems to be pretty good from afar. What did you see where all of a sudden you got to fire a guy who's been really quality?
Yeah, and well liked too.
Yeah, you just like Lou used to do this. Just he'd wake up one day and be like, "Nah, this guy's
gone."
He would go
behind the bench himself.
Yeah,
I hope they gave him an Uber instead of a taxi. I saw somebody make a smart ass comment on that
down in Florida when.
Remember that? That was in Carolina. The guy had a taxi.
Yeah. That was
they were.
Maybe you got a helicopter.
They were in Ottawa, right?
Yeah, they're in Ottawa. I'm calling that game tomorrow. Right.
Clearly, like, just reading Kelly McCrimmon's statements, and, you know, I don't see any way that, you know, Kelly does this without, you know, in concert with George McPhee, right? It's not like one guy making a move to just blow up the whole thing that McPhee had built. But in his statements, he talked about, like, they're just not where they thought they should be. And so I guess that's their prerogative, but, man, it seems like...
It's year three.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty strange move. I mean, they could get to the conference final with Pete DeBoer, and they still could get to the conference final if Gerard Gallant was coaching. Like, I do think Pete's a good coach, and I do think Gerard's a good coach, and I don't know what the difference is going to be, but I think they can both end up in the same place, which is a weird thing to think. Usually when a coach gets fired, you go, yeah, I can see they had to do that. Well, not this time.
At what point is this on the play? Like, the players? It's crazy how, you know, everything's always the coach's fault here. Like,
yeah, always the coach, and... You know, that first year was such a miracle run for Vegas to get there, but it obviously had a psychological effect on the organization and the market to think, okay, this is just how it works now.
Right.
Right.
Well, remember when Quebec moved from Quebec to Denver?
Right.
And they won the Stanley Cup in the first year. Mm-hmm. And those people in Denver, you know, I mean, for the first decade, they were one of the best franchises in the league. And then when they hit the skids, people were, you know, they're like, wow, this is what happens? Like, they were stunned. Clearly, their objectives have changed. They signed Paul Stastny to 4 years, $28 million. They signed Mark Stone to 8 years and whatever he got, $60 million. Like, they've spent. It's not like they're this miracle team anymore. Their defense is a little wonky. Apparently, they're looking for a right-handed guy, but I guess so are a lot of teams. But nonetheless, it's still surprising to me.
I agree.
Well, as for Toronto, they got a win that they needed last night, and Matthews had three, only his second hat trick in his career.
That was crazy. Yeah, it is crazy.
And his first one was actually a four-goal game.
Yeah,
that was his first game, right?
Yeah, his first game, he scores four. You talk about making an impression. You're like, all right, this guy will just pot a couple goals every single night. Took him a while to get back to a hat trick, and he did it on an empty net last night, but... Now he's on pace for, I think, 58 goals, and, man, his split stats, we were talking about this in the previous hour. I don't recall the last time I saw something like this where I think he has 27 goals at home and 7 on the road.
That's weird.
It's really weird. Like, it's random in some ways, but why would that be the case?
I was just going to say, I'd like to really try to understand, like, it's not like he plays against secondary, like his matchups are so easy at home and so tough on the road. Like, that's not it. Like, it's crazy to have that big a spread. I remember those stat packs, you know, like the media packs they put in the room, and I'd always check. Of course, you only check when you know, but I'd check, and like, if my splits were way off, it was almost embarrassing to me. I felt like people noticed that. Like, you know, you're like, wow, you got 16 goals at home and 4 on the road. Geez, he doesn't play very tough on the road, or he can't handle the road or something like that. I hated it. And it's just a weird stat. You don't think you play any different. I don't know. Do you notice him any differently? It seems like every time he's at home, he just shoots it in the net 3 times or 2 times or whatever. I mean, right. What a crazy number. like to average over a goal a game at home is bizarre production.
It's wild. And he's scored in every different fashion, from every different spot on the ice. First period, second period, third period, overtime. He's done everything. And on the road, I guess maybe he's not getting bounces, but it can't be to that extent. Like, something is different. Maybe last change, maybe where you're starting your shifts. I don't know what it might be. But
how can it be so big?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, you could start more times in the defensive zone, but would that be two or three times more a game? You know, not 12.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's quite, like, dramatic.
Yeah,
like,
it's quite shocking.
Yeah, it's drastic, yes.
But, listen, if he gets to 60, and I guess that's a possibility.
Yeah, who
it's not how, it's how many. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if he gets to 60, I mean, I know we keep bringing back up the Hart Trophy and all that, and he's not in that upper echelon category with McDavid and McKinnon, and I don't think he's there with even Pasternak or Marchand if the Rangers were in Panarin.
Yeah.
But, man, if you get to 60 and you get in with all the hurdles that this Maple Leaf team has dealt with all year, I don't see how that goes unnoticed.
Well, if he gets to 60, he's likely going to be one of two players that are there. Right?
That's right.
It's him and Pasternak. So, yeah, you get talked about in a different way, for sure. I mean, just 50 is crazy. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets 50 anymore. Or not very many, anyway. It's his pace is just, you know, it's like it's going downhill right now, like a snowball going downhill. It's like you can't stop it. It's almost like McDavid. Every time McDavid has a couple of games where, he hasn't played very well, and then he throws 3 points up last night, and you're like, oh yeah, he's back at it again.
Oh yeah.
Like, these guys don't, the very best guys, they don't seem to get in the ditch very long. Man, it's impressive.
Well, with that being said, Matthews, again, he's got 34 goals on the season, and he's got 57 points. I mean, that's a good run. McDavid's got 74.
Right.
Like, McDavid has 17
more points.
Almost 20. 17 more points.
Yeah. And what does Panarin have? He's, like, close to 70 now, isn't
he's
he?
He's at 67 now. Like, Panarin's screen, this is Taylor Hall, but maybe even more extreme. Like, if the Rangers could somehow get in, Panarin wins. Like, I think that's what would end up happening. The storyline would pick up so quick.
Slam dunk.
But the thing is I think Hall's story was even worse. Like, he sure is not, you know, like, Ryan Strome's had a great season. Zibanejad's a really good player. Like, they've got better players in New York than Jersey did.
Mm-hmm.
Hall's was so big. But you're right. Like, the Rangers, nobody expected them to make it.
Ray, did you ever look at those stat sheets? Like, I had some good years, and I would look at them, and it'd be like, I got 30 goals, but there's another guy that's got 55, like Jagr or Lemieux. Yeah. I'm like, I can never win Player of the Week.
Yeah, you're right.
I got two hat tricks 1 week, and I thought, man, this is my week. I'm going to be the guy.
Me too. And Mario beat me.
Paul Coffey got like 6 assists on the Friday. I was like dusted right out to the back door, man.
Yeah. I was like, I'm for sure winning Player of the Week. And Mario had like 10 points. And I'm like, I have no shot.
Yeah, I liked looking at those stat sheets early in the season. If I got off to a good start, I'd be like, hey, look at this. I'm in the top 10.
Opening night, tap in a couple second assists.
Yeah. Take whatever you can get, because before you know it, you're like, you're chewing fumes, man.
Take advantage whenever you can. All right, buddy. Where are you? Back in Vancouver now, or
no? I'm here. I'm in Toronto.
Yeah, you're in Toronto.
I got the game tomorrow.
That's right. You're calling. Well, I guess Matthews was, because him and Matthew Tkachuk are buddies, and they've been friends for a long time. And the media was like, "Do you think Matthew Tkachuk is going to get under your skin?" And Matthews is like, "I think he knows. I'm not really going to care that much about him being on the ice."
Do you know what they're doing right now? They're at dinner.
They probably are tonight.
Yeah.
You're probably right about that. But that'll be a fun game tomorrow, for sure.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm looking forward to seeing Sandin play. And, I watched him at the juniors, but it was a hell of a start for him. And I think there'll be lots of goals, too. I just don't see this as the old 3-1 empty netter.
No, I'm with you on that. I think... Sandin looked good. Like, I know you, I think you were calling a game last night, Ray, but Sandin, yep. they didn't overplay him. Like, they did what you would expect. He got a couple of assists in the first period, which is great. Gets off the snide, gets on the game sheet, played him about 16 minutes. Wasn't against great competition, which is probably ideal. You know, give him a chance to ease into it. But tomorrow is going to be a different, totally different team you're facing.
Yeah.
Now you're back in the league. You feel like you're a part of it. But in terms of first impression, second impression, whichever way you want to define it, I really thought he looked good last night.
Oh, you had a great point, too, though. Number 38 stinks. That's got to go.
It's a training camp number.
No, you're right. The only one.
It is. Like Hayes would have worn that. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but
tell him what number I wore. Tell him.
Hayes wore 4.
Who gave you number 4?
He probably gave it to himself, but
Velcroed it on.
Can you imagine like a tryout guy wearing number 4?
On defense.
The only thing I can think on of defense. Is they handed them out by size, like when you're in tight hockey. And 4 fit Hayes. And so they're like, here, this is your jersey.
Right, just a tall, lanky idiot. They're like, this is all we have for you.
I think there's only one way to go. You go up to Jake Muzzin and say, I'll give you 10 grand and a Rolex. Can I have number 8?
You can't do that as a rookie. Jake Muzzin will smack you around and say, don't ever talk to me
like
again.
There's no...
You can't go up to a vet and say, I want your number.
This guy's got to make the league first.
Do you know that when a guy goes to another team and takes another guy's number, they give like a guy the Rolex?
Yeah, because the other day.
It's like a legend that's coming aboard. It's not Rasmus Sandin.
Can't you do the reverse and say, look,
I was at the World Juniors, so I want your number now? What are you going to say to him? What would be your pitch if you're Rasmus Sandin? Play Rasmus Sandin, and Ray can be Jake Muzzin.
Okay, Jake, I'll give you 10 grand and a Rolex. Can I have number 8?
Okay, the guy hasn't received his first check
Jake
yet.
Muzzin.
Yeah. Ray, doesn't even have money. Go ahead, Ray. Or Jake.
I make $4 million already, and I'm going to sign for 6. 10 grand, beat it.
Okay, what do I have to do to have number 8?
Wait till I sign somewhere else, or I'd like to go on a trip with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
Ah, there you go.
Wherever I choose.
Around the world.
Can I come?
No, like Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to Hawaii. I'd like you to...
Okay, you're going to Hawaii with your family. Can me and my girlfriend go with you?
Not a chance. We're not. No, I've got a wife and kids. No.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can go. Feathers. You can stay at another hotel if you'd like.
Okay. Do you have another option for a number? Like what?
It's not happening. He's 38 until the end of the year. I think that's probably the plan. Like what's
you know
he
what?
Do?
You're wrong. You know why? Travis Dermott was 23, or no, he was 3. And guess what he became?
Babs changed it, didn't he?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't want his thing tied to deal.
Oh.
That's what it is.
Well, Justin Hall has no problem with that, clearly.
Yeah, but Babs isn't there anymore.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's 38. He's playing tomorrow night.
Anyway, he's like a number 7 or something. I don't know.
Somebody pointed out Pavel Dimitra, the late great, was 38.
That's right.
And I loved him.
That was a great number for him.
It looked good. It looked good on Pav.
It did.
It's not a...
No, it just doesn't work.
It's a bad number.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, you have that conversation with him tomorrow, right before the game. Interview him before the game.
Are you still going to wear that number tonight? It looks ridiculous.
Yeah. That'll put him in the right frame of mind for
like,
a big game.
Who are you? Who are you? Yeah.
Sorry, are you security? Like, is that Mikey?
Why are you
I'm not
here?
Even joking, better. Brian. I think it's better for, like, the player. All the right. whole, like okay. You look better.
That's fine.
You know how some guys wear a jersey, they get traded, doesn't look right?
Right. I hear you.
I don't like
He's been in the league for 7 games. We'll figure it out. All right, buddy. We'll do
number
it again
4.
Tomorrow.
Okay, number we'll 4 here.
Ray Ferraro Later. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle in January. Visit MapleToyota.com. Grappler, get someone from Oshawa that saw me play.
How did you get number 4? Did you say, hey, I want number 4?
I skated around the
Because rink. I know when I went to Hartford.
That looks like Bobby Orr. That's what they said.
What if Bobby Orr called up throughout the league and was like,
when
that
I went
guy
to Hartford, the
four,
trainer
that
said
guy
to me,
can't wear 4. Like, if he looked at every team and was like, don't even give that guy. Like,
if he saw me wearing number
when
4.
When I went to Hartford, the trainer said to me, do you want to just kind of keep 92? Is that like your number? I'm like, all right. And he said, you might have some issues around here, like 92. First year in the league.
Were you drafted in 92 or 94?
92 in Guelph. That's why I got 92.
Oh.
And the trainer said, he goes, you know, around here, like, young guy, 92, like, you might not want it. I'm like, no, that's... How did you get four?
I looked like Bobby Orr on the ice. Like, what part of this are you not understanding?
He didn't.
The,
you're a walk-on.
The owner of the team came down and said,
that guy was a walk-on?
Absolutely. But I was Robert G. Orr. They said, that dude is from
Perrysound. I'm being serious. How'd you get four?
I don't know.
I don't know. Walk-on.
Somebody had to have come up to you and
said, offered me like five numbers, and I said, I'll take that.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
So why wouldn't I?
No,
yeah, exactly.
Way.
I was.
No way.
Dude, and I looked good. I had a great bucket. And
moving and shaking and warm-up.
Oh, my warm-up
routine
was phenomenal. Phenomenal warm-up.
You were a walk-on.
What does that have to do with anything?
I just don't get it. Like,
I was there. I was on the team.
I haven't heard that term in the longest time, a walk-on.
He was.
It was a PTO. It was a PTO.
A five-gamer or what?
No, I got through it. Don't you worry, man. I had such a great mini camp. They said, number four, and you're on the team. I signed before we even got to the real camp. They found a gem.
I love that one.
They found a gem. A PTO.
Only scrubs go to mini camps.
A PTO.